Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're doing a little off-show commentary because we want to react to the governor calling the special session, and we're reaching out to a number of individuals. We're trying to get comment from the Speaker of the House, Lisa Damith, but Dave and I are just debating, will they react to this? To me, Dave, I think it's going to take them a couple hours before they react. But we're going to talk politics right now with Tim Penny. It's been a while since we have chatted with Tim Penny. I will just say this again. I say it every time Tim Penny comes on the show. I wish this country had more Tim Pennies in politics. I really do. Intelligent man, grounded in principle, and a centrist. And was willing during his six terms in Congress to work with the other side. Didn't fall into a stereotype. And I think our country would be better off. The only thing I'll quibble with Tim, and I think I told you the last time, Major Garrett has become a very good friend. Major Garrett is a regular on this show. I just would quibble with your partnership with Major Garrett. That's all I would do.
He's a very good friend, and I'm glad you have him on regularly. It's a benefit to your audience to have him giving his perspective on D.C. And, you know, he and I wrote two books together,
yes.
and I think we were both disappointed that neither of our joint collaborations became bestsellers. The first book, Common Sense, was about the cultures of Washington and how those cultures dominate decision-making and often lead to gridlock and partisanship. But the other book was his idea, and we couldn't figure out why this didn't just fly off the shelves, The 15 Biggest Lies in Politics.
How many would it be now, Tim?
Well, too many to count, but we were told by the publishing company that our book had to stop at 250 pages, so we had to stop at 15.
That's very good. We're having you on for a number of reasons, including it seems inevitable that we're going to have another government shutdown, and this debate comes up so often that I think a lot of people listening right now are going to say, well, what else is new? You know, how concerned should the typical Minnesotan who's listening right now, who may be a big supporter of the president, may oppose the president, or maybe somebody in the middle, how concerned should they be if we are headed for a government shutdown starting midnight tonight?
Truth, not two, for a variety of reasons. One is that government shutdowns typically don't last all that long. Worst case scenario, it could be as much as a few weeks. Usually it's a few days, sometimes even a few hours. Secondly, most of the essential services, our military, our Social Security, our Medicare, Medicaid, things that people can't go without, are considered essential services. So they are maintained, they continue. And thirdly, the other government agencies, which would be put in hiatus, are not quite as essential to our day-to-day lives. And at the end of this, routinely, the government gives the laid-off workers or the the suspended workers' back pay. So it's not as big a deal as they make it out to be.
Okay. That's good to hear. I just get the feeling on this one that the president doesn't fear it. Maybe he believes some of what you're saying. Wouldn't shock me if he did. It'd be good insight. And I think also he believes this gives him an opportunity to reshape government in a way that he normally can't do, including firing thousands, if not tens of thousands, of government employees. Does that give you any hesitation?
Yeah, well, that I don't know that he actually has the authority to do that. This is going to be another one of the many court cases filed against the Trump administration. So I'm not sure that layoffs are allowed under these circumstances. Obviously, government workers in agencies that aren't considered essential service agencies will have their role suspended for a short period of time. But I don't think he has the authority to actually do layoffs, but it'll be litigated. I guess we'll find out if that's the route he goes. On the other hand, you know, both parties play this game. If there's a Republican in the White House, then Democrats are okay with a government shutdown.
Yep.
If there's a Democrat in the White House, then Republicans are okay with a government shutdown. It's all politics all the time in Washington, and here we go again.
This is a former congressman, served six terms, 12 years, Tim Penny, kind enough to join us. It's 14 past 1 on WCCO. Right now, if you ran for office under the positions...
First of all, I wouldn't.
I know that. I knew you were going to say that. Under the positions that you held during your 12 years, would you have any chance getting elected?
It's the nomination more so than the election.
Yeah, you're right.
Because both parties have been unforgiving of any candidate that doesn't toe the party line. And what I mean by that is not the party line so much as the interest group line, because both parties have been overtaken by a very small slice of the electorate. But these are folks that are very much activists from one side of the spectrum to the other. They stand in the way. The general election, I think a more moderate candidate can still get elected, but even then it's not easy because those same interest groups with outside expenditures, which means this is money being spent on the campaign but not by the candidate, him or herself, they demonize you. That's a tough thing to go up against.
Whose fault is it? Is that on us, the voters, for not stepping in more?
Well, to some extent, yes. I think we allow ourselves to get sucked into that highly partisan environment. You know, most congressional races, there's more money spent by these so-called outside groups or independent groups than by the candidates themselves. And the sad reality is that most of that outside money is attack ads. And so they're demonizing the candidates. You know, you should set that aside. But people don't, because they can't distinguish between what these outside groups are doing from what the candidates themselves are doing. And in many cases, these outside groups define what the campaign is about and define the candidates, they serve no good purpose, frankly. And look, I'm a little bit naive on this, because even though I don't like the idea of changing the Constitution very often, if we could change the Constitution to say that the only money spent on politics would have to be money donated to candidates, where it's controlled by them and publicly revealed, and that would eliminate the outside money totally.
Any chance that happens?
No. Take constitutional amendments. See how many politicians are willing to vote for this, because you know they're in the current system and it seems to work for them. But the other is that the only donations you could make to the candidates would have to be made by people that actually live in your state.
Yep.
Get this out-of-state money out of our politics.
What, you know, you still pay close attention to what's going on here. The governor's going to run again. The amount of fraud in the state is shameful. It's embarrassing. It's as bad as any state in the country. How can the governor overcome that when he runs next year?
I don't know. It'll be up to him to explain it. But at my count, it's over $1 billion, probably half a dozen separate frauds.
Yeah.
That's pretty embarrassing. And I don't know that any heads have rolled. And so if you haven't taken action to deal with people in your government that have allowed this, then you have to own it.
Yes.
Basically, your decision that I've done nothing to fix this. I've done nothing to punish people who are responsible for this. Well, then you own it.
Again, Tim Penny's with us, the former congressman. It's 18 past one on CCO. Then the other, because I agree. And we've had Joe Thompson on, the interim acting attorney for the state at the federal level. And he says it's well past $1 billion. He's like, wait till we're done. It's going to be well past $1 billion. The problem is if you're somebody in the middle or you're Republican, you're saying, okay, he's beatable. You have to run somebody who has a chance to win in the state. And if it's just somebody who's pure MAGA, I get it. If you're MAGA and you love the president and he's won the presidency two out of the last three times, he absolutely lost the other time. But that person isn't going to win in this state.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think you're right. So here again, I think it's shaping up to be a competitive year, and that's not always the case in Minnesota. But if the Republicans are serious about winning once again, they can't go far right.
Last thing, sir. Is there a politician right now, maybe a name we all know or a name that's not as prominent, and you look at her or him and say, this is the type of person we need more of in politics today?
Well, they're all quitting.
Yeah.
I would say Joe Manchin, and I'm vice chair of the Economic Club of Minnesota. We're working with him now to pin down a date in December when he can be one of our guest speakers. We do monthly luncheons with keynote speakers. But buy his book, read his book. And Lisa Murkowski, I just was in Alaska because my stepdaughter now lives in Anchorage. And I had a chance to meet with her and buy her book. And down to earth, sensible, focused on serving the state that sent her to Washington. There's a lot of good stuff in her book as well.
I would say, first of all, your line is so good. They're all retiring. And by the way, Dave, let's stay in contact. If we could have Joe Manchin on, I'd love it when he comes to town. The thing about the senators, I agree, when she appears in interviews and she makes comments to president, but often in the end, she just votes for some of the president's more erratic policies and then talks afterwards how, well, yeah, I really thought it was going to be different. You shouldn't think it's different. Who Donald Trump is.
Yeah, and even Joe Manchin did that to some extent, and that's just the pressure cooker you're in day out on Capitol Hill. So even the sensible centrists that we need more of in this environment often can't buck the party on every single thing they'd like to.
Yeah.
But we gotta get past this. This has not been healthy for the country the last 15, 20 years.
Always appreciate it, sir. Enjoy the day, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Chad.
Former Congressman Tim Penny. We need more Tim Pennies. It's that simple for me. It's not even close. It's 21 past 1 on the home of the Twins, CCO.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom, we got a fair amount of politics this hour, because one insider has told me the way some people are reacting, the governor and calling the special session a bleep show, go with an alliteration for instead of the word bleep. All right, here's our guy Hauser. How are the Republicans reacting to this, and do we know the specifics of this special session?
Let me put it lightly, Republicans are not responding well. How about that? So now, just to give you an idea of how this unfolded in my own life, I'm in the middle of an interview.
You're running
with Congressman Tom Emmer about the government shutdown, the federal government shutdown.
Yeah, we were talking to Tim Penny about that.
I come out of the conference room, and they're saying there's a deal on a special session, and I go, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then I said, I find that hard to believe, and then of course I go and start checking my emails, and it is what it usually is. It's the two sides speaking about things as if they're on different planets.
Yeah.
So here's what is in the proposal, not a deal. It's a proposal from the governor.
Yep.
And it's lengthy, but I'll buzz through it real quick. He says the special session must be combined to final passage of all of the following policies and appropriations: assault weapons and high-capacity magazines ban, binary trigger ban, eliminate the ghost gun loophole, strengthen extreme risk protection orders, including increased funding for public outreach and education, expand school safety funding, increase funding for mental health treatment, strengthen prohibitions against domestic abusers, increase criminal penalties for violent offenses committed with a firearm and for impersonating a police officer, and increase funding to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension's Behavioral Threat Assessment and Management Team. All of this he wants to start on Monday, October 6th at 10 a.m., and they have to be done, I think, by Sunday, October 12th.
Okay. You know this infinitely better than I, but these are really our suggestions, because once it opens, they get to decide by votes what passes, and they get to decide when it ends, correct?
Yes, he has no power once he calls them into session. And then it's up to the legislature. So very often what happens in these special sessions, usually when it's about the budget, you know, something they have to get done, there will be a pre-agreement. We just saw that in June after the session ended in a stalemate in May. They did a one-day special session with a pre-agreement. And
yeah, after they met over and over and over again, right?
Yes. And the governor has said he would, in this particular case, when it comes to the guns and these other issues I just outlined, he was going to call that special session with or without prior agreement, which most longtime Capitol observers say you are asking for a bushel full of trouble.
Okay, is this tied to him running for re-election?
Everything with every politician has something to do with their running for re-election. But in this case, the governor also had told the Annunciation Church and school parents that he was going to call a special session, and he was going to make the legislature vote on an assault weapons and high-capacity magazines ban. So he made that pledge to these parents, and I'm certain he feels obligated that that's got to happen. You know, but he cannot make the legislature do what he wants. And that's the problem with the approach that they're using. Can I just tell you the quick response from Mark Johnson, the Republican Senate leader? He says a meeting between Governor Walz and legislative leaders broke down this morning after about 10 minutes when Democrats abruptly ended the meeting and indicated they would no longer work with Republicans to find agreement for a special session. So that is from Mark Johnson.
Yeah.
From Lisa Daymuth and Republican leader Harry Niska, they said Republicans made a fair offer for a framework of a special session, and the governor rejected that framework. Evidently, the DFL idea of a fair offer is for Republicans to commit to supporting a final product that Democrats haven't even decided on yet.
Yeah. Two things.
You can see they're miles apart.
Yeah, you can see. It seems clear then the Democrats had already decided, okay, this isn't going to go long. Let's make sure we have our announcement ready. And also, when, you know, Lisa Daymuth says we offered up a fair offer, let's be honest, it doesn't include anything in guns, right? I mean, I had her on the other day. You talked to her more than I. Not one Republican in leadership has said, we're willing to do a variety of things, including what we want, but we'll also do something on guns. What they'll cite, and by the way, it's factually correct, when the Democrats controlled the governor's office, the House, and the Senate, they couldn't even get the legislation on guns passed that they wanted because a number of Democrats, primarily from Greater Minnesota, wouldn't vote for it.
Absolutely. And so it is very disingenuous to say that Republicans alone have stood in the way of an assault-style gun ban and high-capacity magazine, because in 2023, when you will recall, as well as I do, Democrats passed nearly everything they wanted, from abortion to taxes to spending, you name it. And the one thing they did not do was an assault-style weapons ban.
Yep.
When they had majorities in the House, Senate, and they had the governor's office, but there were some Democrats who would not vote for it. So they're being disingenuous if they say, if they don't acknowledge that that's what happened.
Last thing, again, Tom Hauser, right on it as always. This is why he's the best. This is why we're lucky to have him. This is why we have him on so often and have for decades. The governor, was it at a MinnPost event, Minnesota Reformer event over the weekend, talked about a constitutional amendment on guns. What's the likelihood of that? And does it needs the majority in both houses, in both the House and Senate, for it to be on the ballot? Is that right? Take me through that.
Yeah, and the governor, a constitutional amendment does not require the governor's signature or approval, but it does require a majority of the House and the Senate. So they would have to agree to do this. And I don't know that the Republicans will agree to that. There's a lot of lawmakers who don't like to legislate by referendum. I mean, that's what California does.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
they do a lot of referenda there. They would rather have the elected officials decide what to do. So, and it's funny, the Democrats had called a 1:45 news conference to discuss their proposal. and it's so funny, I'm looking at the screen here, Republicans leapfrogged ahead of him and are now at the same podium where Democrats are going to be in about 10 minutes. And so Lisa Damith and Harry Niska, I think, are responding to all of this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the constitutional amendment thing will come up. Interesting thing is, it's not in this written offer that I'm looking at right in front of me.
I have a feeling we're going to talk to you tomorrow after what happens and more of the fallout. Thanks on the fly. Go listen, and we'll talk soon.
Well, in between this and the government shutdown, we'll have no shortage of things to talk about.
Tom Hauser tonight, Channel 5, and let's just be honest, he's going to be back on the show tomorrow. Thank you, sir. Let's pause. Another great guest, Colonel David Hunt. What did he think about the presentation today by the Commander-in-Chief and the Secretary of Defense? Yeah, that's what Congress still calls it, Secretary of Defense, in front of all of our top generals and admirals who were brought in from across the planet. The always shy Colonel David Hunt is next.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This just doesn't happen. What happened today, where, let's just be honest, by orders of Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth orders in all the top generals and all the admirals, not in the area, to Quantico, all across the planet for a meeting. When I first heard about it, I was like, what's going on? Then I assumed it's private. No, of course, it's televised, and it's Hegseth lecturing how we haven't been good enough and all of it's going to change, and then Donald Trump just giving a campaign speech and encouraging the generals and admirals to applaud multiple times. They didn't when the president's talking about Joe Biden and Otto Penn and all of this. So our military guest is as good as any military guest on the planet, in my opinion. Colonel David Hunt is with us. Just the idea of bringing all of our leaders in from all across the planet on that premise, what are your thoughts on that?
Completely unnecessary. And some of this stuff, this conversation, is maybe going to be hard to hear, listen to, because for some of it's inside baseball stuff. But that was the, as you've already said, the one star. We have up to 4 stars in our military, in all services, and every once in a while we get 5 stars like we had in World War II. So from 1 star to 4 star, all services, and there's senior enlisted command sergeants and major or command master chiefs in attendance with about a 3-day notice. And what they, okay, so that's never been done. Completely unnecessary to have done that. What everything the next staff said, he said before, it really sounded to me like he was trying to sell a book. However,
I thought it was like a Zig Ziglar, like a public speaker. Like, you know, I was at a seminar and here's the next guy for 30 minutes.
Yeah, and yes. However, some of the stuff that takes that said, I absolutely agree with.
Okay.
But it, which is there, you don't have to change standards. Should not change standards. People have should meet the standards that are there. And in our case, the military's case, we've got combat standards. What we've done in my time and since is change standards to meet some social experiments. And that never turns out well. And I think we've gone too far with the social experiments in the active, in the military, in the infantry, in special forces, in our artillery, in tanks. I have no problem. Here's the standard. I don't care how you have sex or how you go to the bathroom. You meet that standard, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we've done. We've changed the standard. So some of that, and I don't want to see fat generals and admirals either. I get it. There's been too many exemptions. However, it was completely unnecessary to bring those people, the uniform officers and NCOs, into Quantico to do a pep talk. Now they end up, there's some other good stuff, like rules of engagement that he talked about. The problem with rules of engagement, Chad, has been restricting soldiers from being able to kill the enemy and defend themselves. At one time in Iraq, there were 17 pre-requirements before a soldier could return fire. They had rules of engagement cards.
Yeah, right.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Absolutely unnecessary. However,
yep.
Soldiers are not allowed to torture. Soldiers aren't allowed to mutilate. Soldiers aren't allowed. There's things you can't do as a soldier in the United States Army. You know, and you don't need rules of engagement, which are really for senior officers. And the last thing is, he's right. We haven't won a war since World War II. And that has got to stop.
A lot of very important points. This is Colonel David Hunt. So is so much of this related to, as the Iraqi war was unfolding and Abu Ghraib and the torturing or the interrogations and the fallout from that, and then having 8 years of Obama and 4 years of Biden and the individuals they're promoting, and you feeling in some of the areas that you touched on that with the commander-in-chief reacting very differently than George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz, that the Biden and Obama administrations went too far in directing what they wanted the military to do?
Partially, yes, but I'm going to have to push back on some of one thing.
Okay.
The guys you named, Rumsfeld and that crew, were awful, just awful on how to fight a war. They would have been fine in peacetime.
Yep.
But that's where it starts. This ridiculous rules of engagement, lack of planning, lack of preparation, lying, et cetera, et cetera. We had one of the weakest staff, chairman of the Joint Chiefs ever, and a guy named Pete Pace, a Marine who I happen to know well. So that we had a reluctance in Vietnam and since In Korea, the politics showed up as well. If you're going to do a war, if you're going to commit human lives, then you got to be all in, politically, industrial-wise, and militarily. And always the military takes orders, period, from civilians, which is as it should be. So you have, here's what the problem a lot of people have. Elections have consequences. So don't run a president who's had diminished capacity and don't have a primary, because if you don't, the result is you have Donald Trump as president. That's what happens when you screw this thing up.
This is Colonel David Hunt. You can hear again why he's so great. He's willing to give his opinion on all topics. He served close to 30 years in our military, heroically awarded over and over and over again, still incredibly plugged in with the military. So let's stay with Hegseth, and I'll go with your premise that there was no need to bring them in. You could have done this over some sort of communications. They could have stayed where they were stationed, and you're saying that there are points that you agree with Hegseth, but you've also told me multiple times he's wholly unqualified for this position. So how do you balance those two, that some of these ideas are right, but you don't trust him in the position itself?
Oh, I don't think he's going to. I need to see some meat hung on all these grand things. I have heard that speech for 29 years, and I've heard it since I've been out.
Yep.
That speech. And okay, so he's fired 21 senior officers, senior generals, and without any reasons, he's fired them. Men and women, black, white, he's fired them.
Were they because they weren't? He didn't feel like they were supporting his boss.
There was never a reason given.
Yep.
I mean, that's a great assumption that they were anti-Trump somehow. I actually believe that they were connected to Milley. And there was such a revulsion in the Trump administration to the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Milley, that anybody associated with him has been fired. And anyone who's going to be promoted to a big job or a four-star who has anything to do with Milley, I don't care if you had a coffee with Milley,
yeah, right,
they're not getting that promotion. They're not getting it. So I don't think that Hegseth has the sand to carry out, because what he's talking about, half the people in that room, I'm not exaggerating, are not going to meet the standards he's talking about, period, because it's never been enforced at the senior level.
Okay, so
or in a lot of other levels.
Is it possible that he will hold them to the standard, and we're going to look back on this, and we'll reach out to you over and over again, that he's setting this up to dismiss dozens and dozens and dozens of the people who are in that room today?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good one. We also have to be very, very careful, I think. If you want to judge people, and standards, I've already said it, are critical. If there's whatever the standard is, and it's developed from combat and experience, that's the standard. Man, woman, cat, dog, young private or four-star general, there's your standard. You don't meet the standard and you get a retest, you're out. You're a woman, here's the standard. That's not what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And it, period. We have not done it. I don't, again, base the standard on realistic things based on combat, period. For combat people. And there are other standards for military policemen. There's a basic military standard. And then you have different things for people who run supply, but again, a basic soldiering stuff. But you don't require a clerk to be able to hang with Delta Force or the Rangers,
yeah,
or
right,
Navy SEALs. No, and that's, so there's some, I don't know the details of what he said, and I don't think he's got the sand to do it. I just don't.
Okay.
I do like what he said.
So when we're talking about, and you're right, we haven't won a war definitively, decisively since World War II, in your opinion, and it's a combination, but which one is more? Have we lost those wars because we didn't hold our soldiers to the appropriate standards, or incompetent decision-making by the civilians involved in directing those soldiers?
incompetent decision making in both the civilian that we work for and the senior military officers. Okay. It was not standards of soldiers. American soldiers are still the best in the world. And some of this stuff that's been happening are, for example, the change of standards because for women. And women didn't ask for that. It was men who made that kind of decision. No, that those things did not contribute in Vietnam. That was politics. Certainly not in Korea. That was politics. Gulf in the 20 years of the Gulf in the global war on terror. The single biggest killer on the battlefield was the rules of engagement. Not the circuit. The first, of course, was IEDs.
Yeah.
And we had some awful, awful leadership in the last 20 years. And the soldiers, Marines, etc., still were phenomenal.
Who was the worst? Who are the couple individuals when you talk about just awful leadership? Give me a couple names that stand out the most to you.
Oh, yeah. It's actually in front of me. Dan McNeil commanded Afghanistan twice. Dan's a wonderful guy, just not a fighter. We Westmoreland in the Vietnam time.
Yep.
And we had some terrible, Rumsfeld as an example, Secretary of Defense. Best one we've ever had is a guy named Marshall in World War II, when it was a Department of the War.
Yeah.
Department of War. Well, we happen to be in a war. But, and Schwarzkopf, comes and goes. He was a very nasty guy. He also had a great army against nobody. Just nobody.
Yeah.
And he ran right over him. The last one we won, of course, was the Gulf War. Overwhelming force against an incompetent enemy. And I'm glad we won.
Sure. Me too.
But there's a couple of names.
Yeah. Last one, and I got about a minute or so. Did we put ourselves in peril across the globe by having all these folks come to Quantico to get today, or is that hyperbole?
Hyperbole.
Okay.
There's too many people taking their place. So one star to two, three to four star, they all have deputies. These are the commanders and the senior guys. The private in the 3rd Battalion, 1st Infantry Division, could care less where the general is. And they're doing their jobs. The sergeant's doing their jobs. So, no, for a couple of 3 days, it's probably a great break in all those headquarters that all those guys are going for a couple of days.
You're the best, sir. We're so lucky to have you on. And, again, thanks for your service, and I love how you make time for us. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
Colonel David Hunt. 51 past 1 on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Normally, we're not guests to Palooza. It just worked out, right? The Twins fire Rocco, so if we can get Falvey on, we get Falvey on. We're always going to have Ask on. Government shutdown, let's have Tim Penny on. Then about 2 minutes before we're going to start the Tim Penny interview, we find out that Walls, meanwhile, he's not even here. He's in Ireland. Okay, he's not even here when they announce a special session and all the criteria they want. This all has to be passed, right? Like the Republicans are just going to do that, by the way. And once the session starts, governor has no control. So we have Hauser on that. Then if the commander-in-chief and secretary of defense are going to meet all our top leaders and admirals in an unprecedented fashion, I think it makes sense to have Colonel Hunt on. Then the wild sign, Kirill, the thrill to Susie Jones money. So we're going to have Billy Guerin on. To be honest, we're trying to get Damoth on, too, to get her reaction. And then Ukas is a regular. Less of you. It's taken time from you. I apologize.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah?
It's not about me. I know you can't understand that.
Also, I would tell people to go find Nafisa Collier destroying leadership in the WNBA. Just destroying the leadership in the WNBA. I'm trying to think the last time a star player attacked a league office that way. It is worth your time. Should I stop talking now or 50?
No, you should give it another 15 seconds.
Really?
Good stuff.
All right. Give us a follow on the Twitter machine, at Chad Hartman Show. Find the podcast anywhere you can find it. Follow me on Instagram, Chad Hartman Show. Follow Dave on the X, at @Dave_Harrigan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.